Welcome to Blether Together, brought to you by Farmstrong Scotland. I'm your host, Sarah Stephen, and together we'll be travelling across Scotland to chat to farmers and crofters to learn more about them, their businesses, challenges, and the positive steps they take to manage their well-being. Our thanks go to NFU Mutual Charitable Trust for supporting the podcast series and to our founding funders, Movember and the Royal Highland Agricultural Society of Scotland.
Cheer up. The worst is yet to come. Cheer up. It may never happen. Some helpful words of advice that we've all heard before. But don't worry, because if you are a worrier, then stay tuned. Because today we're talking to psychologist Heather Meikle. Her aim is to help people help themselves. Heather, good morning. Welcome to Blether Together, a special stress podcast. How are you feeling today?
Feeling good, yes. A little bit stressed as I came in here when my laptop was very slowly updating, but it all worked out, so I'm feeling much better.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. I have to admit, I'm a little bit stressed today, so I'm wondering if you can give me some top tips. I don't know if stress is the right word, but I'm nervous because I'm about to embark on my first Blether Together podcast roadshow tonight. We kick it off. And people think that I'm up for being, you know, gregarious and in public and speaking in front of people, but I'm a little bit nervous. Can you give me some top tips?
Some top tips. So triggers make you the most nervous, I suppose. What kind of things about your road trip are making you a bit nervous?
Well, I suppose I just want people to enjoy it. I want people to get a lot out of it. I also have to look at my personality type, which is slightlylastminute.com. So although I've been thinking about it a lot and considering, you know, the flow of the evening and what I'm going to say, you know, I haven't actually put anything or committed anything to paper yet. So that's my 11th hour side of my brain.
Yeah, so maybe having that bit of last minute pressure. And sometimes short term stress can be quite useful because it can kind of drive us to get things done and adapt to not dangerous situations in this case, but like slightly stressful situations. So I'd say that's probably going to be your best friend when you're preparing at the last minute.
Oh, that's very diplomatic of you. And I completely crash and burn tonight at whatever club it is we're going to. Then yeah, I'll go Heather. That didn't work. No, sorry.
Yeah, one of the best things someone told me when I was doing a presentation, actually, it was, would you want people to get out of it? And I was like, oh, I want them to think I know what I'm talking about. And she was like, is that why you're doing the talk? I was like, no, actually, I want them to learn about working with culturally deaf people. And so I wanted them to get out of it instead of how I wanted them to perceive me. Helped me a lot to manage my nerves in that situation.
I know. I suppose we're all human at the end of the day, and we just want it to go well, and we want to be liked, don't we? What we typically do on these podcasts is we do a little bit of a random rapid fire question at you. Are you up for that?
My brain will do its best.
Okay, well, it is early in the morning, so don't worry. Whatever the first thing that comes to mind. Okay, so I'm just going to go for it. It won't take too long, I promise. It's not that long a lift. So, Heather, what has been your favourite age so far?
This age, 33.
What is your go-to lazy dinner?
Pasta.
What item is worth spending more money on?
Jeans and a car.
Is your bed made right now?
No.
If you could afford any car, which one would you drive?
The one that I have, which is a Subaru.
What is one thing you regret spending money on?
All the clothes in my wardrobe that I never wear.
What movie do you enjoy quoting the most?
The Disney movie Robots, which me and my brother have watched religiously throughout our lives. It's my favourite.
Oh, Disney, like that. Which dish do you cook best?
Ooh, spaghetti carbonara.
Ah, see the pasta theme there is again. Okay, yep. Final one. Finish the phrase. The way to my heart is...
cooking for me.
There you go. Done. That's it.
The torture is over. You're a very calm, collected,
motivated,
capable person. That's what I have to do.
Thank you.
Back to the topic, define for us, what is stress?
So I think, like you said, nerves and stress or anxiety and stress, like people can kind of chop and change the words a few times, but stress is more than just an emotion because it's a chemical reaction that happens in our brain. It's connected to our fight or flight response. So that's why it can be quite good in times of pressure because it can help us like adapt and cope with that kind of short-term pressure. But because it's related to, you know, our amygdala, the release of the cortisol hormones, if we experience it for a long time, it can kind of make not great changes for our body, for our brain. You know, it can lead to greater things like heart disease, chronic stress really impacts our sleep. It affects the blood flow to our muscles. It changes our heart rate and all kinds of things. So even changes like the way our brain communicates with itself. So it can really affect like a whole host of things. So it's quite a long term kind of change and difficulty rather than maybe a short term kind of emotion or feeling.
Yeah, and it's a word that's often used or potentially overused sometimes. Oh, I'm so stressed, or I'm stressed out. And potentially, are people as stressed as they think they are? But even as a society, are we more stressed than ever before? When you think back to even 20, 30, 40 years, is this time a stress? Or are we as a society, how stressed are we?
Oh, so stressed. I would say my personal experience, I would say quite stressed. I think it's because everything is so accessible. We are so accessible by phone, by email, by, Slack or whatever kind of communication channels that you use, that there's kind of, I think we maybe put a bit more of an expectation ourselves to be available all the time, or, we can answer emails in bed or on the train, or, we can get things done theoretically anytime. And then there's like a lot of pressure, I think, that comes from that to be on top of everything all the time. We're comparing ourselves to people online all the time. And I think that also adds a lot of stress. So I think, yeah, I definitely think it's really impacted, I think, how available we make ourselves to other people and the kind of expectations we put on ourselves when we compare ourselves to other people online. So I would say, yeah, it's a big impact.
Can one be predisposed to having a stressful nature? So, for instance, my husband and I mean, I often describe him as being horizontal. He's pretty chilled out. So I'm the sort of wobbly one that potentially sometimes throws a wobbly, to use a phrase. But I mean, is that something within him? Is that a pattern that I brought from my childhood? Are people predisposed to be more stressful than others?
I think your personality plays a big part in it. If you have quite a sort of perfectionist kind of style of working, maybe you're a bit of a workaholic or you have quite high standards for yourself, I think that certainly puts more added pressure on. Whereas if you're a bit more horizontal and a bit more kind of, oh, things will work out in the end, a bit more go with the flow, you're maybe less likely to have the same kind of internal response of catastrophizing or panicking or things like that. So I think certainly our personality probably plays a big part. You'll know if you've ever been on holiday with somebody else how different people manage stress.
And so, therefore, we're a match made in heaven.
Exactly. Someone's got to get you there on time.
Well, when you mentioned the word perfectionist, I was thinking, I've made my bed this morning. Hashtag just saying. No judgment here, Heather, no judgment.
Thank you. Thank you.
You ever know you've been involved in creating and helping with the Farmstrong, the leaflet about stress? And how do you go about, putting into a small leaflet what should be contained in that and what tips you're going to give to people?
It's so difficult. I think I always try and think of as if I'm talking to a client, like not a classroom. I think it can be easy to get a bit too academic about it, but I always try and think like, what would I want? How much information would I want to give a client that they could go away and use that and make use of that and actually put some things into practice that might help.
What tools can you give to people to identify stress, not just in themselves, but also in others? And I'm thinking of farmers and people that live in rural environments that are on their own a lot, perhaps don't have as much interaction as others.
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest advice I always give is whatever is not usual for you or for someone else. If you know somebody really well and you know what you're normally like, if you're normally a really bubbly person, and even if you're normally quite a quiet person, when that suddenly starts to change, that's often a good sign. But it might be more subtle because people experiencing long-term stress are more likely to get ill, more likely to get headaches, digestive distress. They're more likely to be tired. So you might notice more physical symptoms. Maybe they're a little bit better at like staying cheerful, or maybe they're just always a wee bit grumpy and you can't tell the difference. But there might be more kind of physical signs of it as well. But that can be, people becoming more irritable or people becoming having maybe more mood swings and things like that. So there might be some kind of mood changes or even changes to like their work. So maybe if you don't see them, but if you're kind of share certain, work practices, you might notice that like, oh, they're slowing down or they're struggling to kind of reach the same kind of results that they would normally reach. Maybe the how they look is changing. So I think there might be, I always say whatever looks or like seems different is usually a good sign. So you might struggle to notice it in yourself as much, but other people might notice it more. So listening to your friends as well when and your family when they say like, oh, I notice you've been a bit, bit short with us lately, or you've maybe been smoking a bit more than usual, or you've been spending a lot of money, or some things just seems a little bit different. Like, is everything kind of okay? Although I can imagine, yeah, if you don't have a lot of contact, that is going to be more difficult. And without the gift of psychic powers, I think just checking in with people as often as you can might be the best way to find out if anything's different for them.
You mentioned the sort of addiction that we have to our phones and always being available and always having to respond and being present. I'm just wondering if there's a difference in how, the generations deal with stress. I'm just wondering, I'm looking at the sort of the younger generation coming through who we're adopters. Well, I'm an adopter of that technology. So I feel that I've got it under control. There are moments when I know I don't, but I just wonder if there's a difference in how the generations deal with stress.
I think probably when it comes to technology, there's probably a difference. If I could ban TikTok, not for the Chinese spies, but just for people's mental health, I probably would. I think across even all generations, like my dad can work Facebook Reels, even if he's not on TikTok. There can be an element of sort of detaching a little bit from reality when we're stressed by just scrolling or just like being on Netflix or, doing very passive things that don't actually kind of nourish us in any way. I would say kind of culturally in the generations, there can be a bit more kind of expectation and maybe pressure or self-criticism to just get on with things and tough it out and maybe not share how you're feeling with other people, not look like you're struggling to be, the breadwinner, to be successful. Whereas I think we're a little bit more clued in about mental health and that the kind of younger generations are a little bit better at talking about it and seeking a wee bit support from each other. So hopefully it is kind of changing for the better in that way. But as you said, technology is maybe worsening it as well.
You mentioned that word there, nourishment. So what are the best ways to nourish yourself and avoid stress?
So I definitely see when I talk to people and they've been like, oh, I was on TikTok for like 2 hours last night. And I'm like, oh, did you have fun? No. So
I
if
was
there's
sucked
things that
in. Yeah, you're sucked into
exactly.
it.
Yeah, like time just passed and you're like, oh, great, okay. But if there's things that you enjoy, whether that's like taking the dog out for a walk, seeing friends and family, having a hobby, exercising, taking a bath and reading your book, or any of these things that you actually enjoy, trying to carve out time to do some of them like every day. Obviously, I can imagine, farmers and crofters don't have a lot of free time, but if there's small things that you can do every day that you really enjoy, that's not just kind of like a time pet.
It sounds like what you're saying is, routine is key to avoiding it.
Some kind of self-nourishing kind of routine where you just kind of take care of yourself, do nice things for yourself, kind of top up your cup, if you like. We often have this idea of like we've got one cup that we sort of pour for other people, but we just kind of keep topping that up and taking care of ourselves. So that might look different for everybody, but yeah, definitely having a bit of a routine where you're enjoying things.
How often do you encounter stress yourself, and how do you deal with it yourself?
I definitely find I'm quite a single-minded person when it comes to tasks. Multitasking is not my forte. I find if I have a lot of things on, like say, we came back in January and my to-do list was like the length of my arm and I was like, oh my gosh. And it was really difficult to sit down and concentrate and pay attention, get through it because I was just thinking there's so much to do. So for me, like prioritizing things and to-do list is my best friend because if I'm like, okay, well, I just have two things to do today, that helps me to kind of manage my stress levels a wee bit. So prioritizing to-do list, that's not everybody's cup of tea though, for sure.
You and me both,
And
I like
me,
lists and I like having
I
that
love
sort
a
of sense
list.
of,
Oh,
scoring it
cross.
off. As small as the task may be, I just like that ticking it off or scoring it out.
Absolutely. And some people, I think, don't appreciate the joy of that. And the more you break down a task, the more things you can cross off. So even that kind of satisfaction can be really nice. But I do try and have some hobbies and see my friends and get outside. I just recently got into audiobooks, which is actually helping me get out for a walk because I'm like, oh, I could go for a walk like on my lunch or after work and listen to my audiobook. So it's like even making something that I know is good for me, like exercise, more enjoyable because I think sometimes it can be a wee bit of a chore. So something like that, I'm just like, oh, that's great. Or when I'm commuting, I'll listen to my audiobook and I'm like, oh, this is fantastic.
What, thinking of farmers and people that live in rural environments that, potentially don't speak to people that often, how would you advise them? What would you tell them to do if, they're reluctant to share, reluctant to tell people that they're stressed? What can they do?
Certainly, like talking about it is really helpful. And if there are kind of networks or well-being groups or things that they can engage in our friends and family that they trust to kind of be, because it is being quite vulnerable, like it is quite difficult. I've definitely encouraged just practicing doing that and sharing. It doesn't have to be, you know, a deep share, but just being like, oh, I'm just having a bit of a hard day can be nice, because we're sort of designed biologically to share emotional burdens. Like we're not really supposed to cope with them on our own, whether that's good things or bad things. We're sort of, you maybe know yourself, if you find out something great that you've got, you know, we've booked a holiday or you've passed an exam, you just want to tell everyone about it. You want to be like, I want to share this good news. So talking is definitely really important. I know that accessibility to some of those things, as you say, might not be great. I think that could be why things like, you know, online groups or online, you know, therapy, online advice, online support can maybe be quite useful to keep in touch with people. But again, just even doing things to manage your stress on your own, I think is also really helpful. So having a balance of connection. I think if some people maybe withdraw when they're stressed from friends, maybe noticing, observing that in yourself, if that's something that you tend to do, and more maybe more actively trying to seek out people, I think I would maybe suggest.
I often describe it as having that armor, isn't it? And if we scratch the surface, and sometimes if you share, then other people are willing to open up and share with you. So I suppose it's very much a two-way conversation, is it? You're not alone.
Yeah, and not being afraid to hear someone else's stress. You know, we can struggle sometimes, I think, to sit with other people's sort of discomfort and their distress and their pain, and being open to that and being open to listen without maybe trying to fix it or things like that. Just being like, I'm here for you. I'm kind of sitting beside you, I'm alongside you, and whatever it is that you're going through, like we'll get through it together.
Well, that's some lovely advice, Heather, and a really nice way to end the podcast. Thank you very much for your time and for joining us today. And I hope you have a lovely stress-free day.
Thank you. You too.
We hope you enjoyed today's blether and it has provided some inspiration for your own well-being. One small step can make a big impact. Find something that works for you. To read our latest stories and news, download our resources and tools, or connect with Farmstrong Scotland, visit our website, allthews.farmstrongscotland.org.uk, or follow us on social media.